Right, we now move on to Formula One. Formula One E, or Formula E1. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Just by way of background, you no doubt have heard that the first time the new central waterfront is to be used for this event, for the Formula E event. We're looking at October this year, so it's not far away. And we've invited TC, Transport Commission, and Formula Electric and Action House to brief us on the proposal. So, Ms. Mo, I think you're going to take us through. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, the government has been supporting the staging of major events in Hong Kong, as these events can add colour and vibrancy to our city, attract visitors to Hong Kong, and burnish our international image as an events capital of Asia. So the FIA Formula E Championship is one of those attractive high-end major events. With the Victoria Harbour and Central as the event's backdrop, the race will certainly enhance the harbourfront vibrancy and showcase our harbour image around the world. Also, we think that it will spread the message of environmental protection as well as promote the tourism and motorsports development in Hong Kong. So taking into account the potential benefits of the Formula E event, the Tourism Commission has been coordinating the government's efforts in facilitating the event to be introduced in the city. The organizer is now planning to stage the Formula E Championship Hong Kong E-Prix on the 9th of October this year at the Central Harbour Front. And it intends to use some government sites temporarily to facilitating the event staging. So today, the event organizer is going to present their short-term tenancy proposals and look forward to receiving members' views. Without further ado, may I pass the floor to the organizer.
Great, thank you very much, Emily. Mr. Chairman,
sorry, can I just butt in? Sorry, Vivian, I think you are involved with this project. Are you just? I mean, I have no problem with you sitting and listening, but obviously, it's not appropriate that you make comments. All right.
Yep, absolutely, Chairman.
Thank you. Sorry to butt in. On you go. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to come back and update you on the Formula E Hong Kong E-Prix. Just to give a little bit of background to members of the Commission, perhaps who weren't at the informal briefing that we did towards the end of last year, the FIA Formula E Championship is the world's fully electric motorsports championship. It's a championship that's sponsored by the FIA and is global in nature. The championship is currently in its second season, with races to be held in 10 cities across the world. Races have already taken place in Beijing, in Malaysia, in South America, and the series is now moving to North America, and after that to Europe, and will culminate again with the final race in London at the end of June. The Hong Kong E-Prix would be the first race of the third season. That season would commence in October of this year. And as Emily has mentioned, the date that we would hold the race would be October the 9th. The race would take place on the existing roads within the Central Harbourfront reclamation. And for the benefit of members, we've laid out here the proposed circuit for the race. The event would be over the weekend of the 8th and 9th of October, with the main race to be held on Sunday the 9th, and some supporting events to take place on Saturday the 8th of October. The events on the Saturday are in the process of being finally determined, but would include some technical inspections by the FIA of the circuit itself. We'd also look to have perhaps a supporting race and some other events on the Saturday to build up the overall atmosphere for the event and the main race that would take place on the Sunday. Unlike Formula One, the Formula E Championship races are one-day events. The race itself starts with a practice session at 8 a.m. in the morning. There then is qualifying that takes place towards the late morning, and the main race itself is held between 4 to 5 p.m. It's a one-hour race on the day itself as well. We have laid out here for members the proposed site plan. There would be three types of tickets that we would make available to the general public. There would be general admission tickets, which would allow members of the public to access all areas within the perimeter other than the areas marked here in yellow, which is the restricted area where we have the pit lane and paddock, as well as the VIP areas marked in blue and in pink. The second type of tickets would be the grandstand seating. That seating would be within the central harbour front space as well as outside in the proposed areas that we're looking to enter into a short-term tenancy. And those grandstands would be temporary structures that we would erect for the purposes of the race itself, and then they would be dismantled afterwards. And the third type of tickets are the VIP tickets that would be within the Emotion Club, the blue area there, as well as the corporate suites that would sit on top of some of the grandstands. We have, over the past several weeks, been in discussions with various organs of the Hong Kong SAR government, including the Lands Department, LCSD, and with the support of the Tourism Commission, we have been in discussions to enter into a short-term tenancy for those discrete portions of land for the purposes of the event. I think, as we had discussed previously, we see significant benefits to Hong Kong from holding this event for the first time here, namely not only in terms of attracting tourists internationally and regionally to come and view the race, but also in terms of highlighting and showcasing the central harbour front that we have here to an international audience. The race itself is broadcast live in 120 countries around the world, and the viewing figures have been increasing significantly for the races in season two versus season one. And we feel that the event has the potential to showcase the Central Harbour Front Reclamation and the Victoria Harbour at its very best. We would appeal for the support of the Central Harbour Front Commission in staging this world-class event in Hong Kong. We will, of course, continue to work closely with the Tourism Commission and other organs of the Hong Kong government in terms of both only not only the rental of the lands, but also the overall staging of the race. And we'll, of course, keep the Harbourfront Commission updated as to progress. And with that short introduction, I'm happy to open the floor to any questions that members may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe you can collect the questions and then answer them collectively in a minute. But maybe I can just start, and perhaps you could address this when you respond. Not everybody's a car lover. Not everyone is obviously going to be a particular fan of this event. Just thinking of how we maintain a balance, if you like, on the waterfront. How long are you going to be in possession? Are we looking at large fences which are going to potentially obstruct flow along the waterfront? I just want to make sure that from a community perspective that this doesn't dominate, if you like, or take charge, if you like, of this whole area of the waterfront for a long period of time, and other people who are looking for, if you like, quiet enjoyment or looking just to walk or promenade or just to wander find that they can't find their way through or around the various structures. So maybe when you respond in a minute, just pick that out, will you? Because I think there's a bit of a selling job to be done, if I may put it that way. That this, you know, yes, it's a major feature. It's something that Hong Kong wants, and it will put us on the map. But at the same time, we have a wider responsibility for the waterfront as a whole and for the community as a whole. Members, any other comments? Please, Freddie.
This is not a criticism or a comment. I'm just curious. The circuit and the routes that you propose in your proposal are actually running through some of the least developed area of Central. And in fact, some of the sites are actually construction sites. So from a media perspective, it's not really selling a very beautiful picture of Hong Kong. So I wonder if you would consider this circuit to go through, you know, a little bit further west, so that, you know, just as a matter of selling Hong Kong and making this an event for Hong Kong, that the media can see, you know, these Formula One cars going through the streets of Hong Kong. Would that be possible, or you hit, you know, barrier from highway department or anything you've tried? I don't know.
Metaphorically, yes. Alvin, please.
A simple question. What's the long-term plan? Honestly, what is the commitment of EPRI, are you planning a one-off event, or is this going to be consecutive over years?
Thank you. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to share my view. First of all, I'm truly excited for this event. I think that I did experience it in Beijing, so I think it's very exciting coming to Hong Kong. Just a few questions on behalf of being a member here. I think overall, I think we can see all the overall benefits of bringing this event to Hong Kong, being in Asia's kind of world city, Singapore having the F1, and Hong Kong lagging behind many of the Asian cities. So this is something that's coming to Hong Kong before other competing cities. So I think the overall tourism effect, we do agree. But in terms of the Harbourfront Commission, we do have to review it in terms of a public point of view and so-called from a protecting the harbour point of view. I have a few questions that perhaps you can share with members, and there's something that we can get a better understanding. One was what Alvin mentioned. I know that from a public point of view, for myself also getting involved with in the sports community, for example, planning, I was working with the government trying to plan a football beach football event, and the community was also always asking, what is the long-term view of this event? For example, could you share with us, with season three, going forward, does FIA, do they have the a limitation, meaning if it goes to season four, season five, do they have a set amount of stops in Asia, so that if Hong Kong goes forward with this season three, going forward, when there's more interest, is there going to be a so-called understanding that Hong Kong will have rights going forward, or would it be shifted to other cities where we put in the investment today, and then other cities take it when the brand has been built up? So that's something that will be useful for the members. Secondly, we're also looking at the public point of view, because we're also looking at this as, I'm not sure what the ticketing prices are, but we're also considering how does the public get involved. Like the World Cup, normally they have ticketing for people to go in the stadium, but they also set up camps and big kind of screens for the public to watch the games. So with that will be easier to get through the public, where the public will able to see it. If they can't afford to buy the ticketing. So it will be a community, there will be involvement with the public and the private sector rather than just seeing it as a high-end sports event. Thirdly, we're also thinking of the harbour point of view, like the Dubai F1. I know that is very much, designed, but boats and yachts can actually park up to the race, where people can see the race actually not just from a land point of view, but also from a waterfront point of view, I mean from the sea. That's something that I've taken experience of going to Dubai. Is this something, I know that because of a limitation, because of the temporary track, but as a member, is this something that can be considered while designing? Because we, throughout this afternoon, we also talked about the ferry piers and the boats coming in. So is this something that we can incorporate as well? So these are some questions that perhaps would be asked by the public, and hopefully we can take this opportunity as members where we can throw these questions out and you can better educate us at the same time, hopefully better prepare yourself for the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please, Ivan.
One question, because of a comment made by our colleague. With the experience I saw from the Macau, every time when they have the raising, they actually shell off all the pedestrian bridge, all the location that you may be able to see the raising. So can you brief us what you will do on all this pedestrian bridge getting across your route or, you know, getting near to it during the raising, please?
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, please? Yes.
Right. It's very, very exciting to have Formula E coming to Hong Kong. After that, we don't have Formula One losing out to Singapore. Right. Well, I'm sitting on the NMARC, the major event sports committee as well. And normally, if big sporting events come to Hong Kong, we do ask for a free ticket to the community. So I will do the same if you want to have my support here. But obviously, we're talking about deprived children, deprived community. That's not too much to ask for. On the technical side, what's the sound like compared with F1? Just a curious question, right? Thank you.
I think we have to create the sound, but we'll hear. Any more comments, please? Paul?
Yeah, cost ticketing and availability for the public to enjoy this. Your question, Chairman, I agree with that. The build-in and the build-out time, how long are things going to be occupied and unavailable to the public? Ivan's question on the footbridge and whether that will be closed or not. And I also like to know how much is being invested by the public into this event. Chairman, I've seen that there's an enormous amount of roadworks already going ahead, which then also brings me then to my further question for government. Is this the first time that we're being asked about this or for our support? Because I know that the road construction is already on the going, and this paper is suggesting that we're now going to be asked for our agreement to the short-term tenancies, but it's already committed. So what's the position that we have? I mean, I don't think we can make any changes here. I don't think we have any role to play here other than saying, okay, thank you, yes, very much. Which to me, in terms of sequence of briefing us and getting us involved, I just wonder about whether government can clarify what's the role of the Harbourfront Commission in here and why now and not earlier that we get involved. And then finally, Chairman, it's an issue that has nothing to do with the proponent, with us versus the government. We've asked for many years for the road, this road area, to become made very nice, a boulevard. And I've raised that issue over many, many years. I mean, even when we started the Harbourfront Enhancement Review for Wan Chai, we looked at the Central Wan Chai bypass, we raised this issue. And we got a commitment from Carrie Lam that this road would be 50 kilometers an hour, not 70 kilometers per hour, so it could be a boulevard. It could be a nicely designed road. Now it's almost 10 years later, and we still don't get what we have asked for. But it seems to be impossible for the government to put this together very quickly, spend lots of money, and make this very nice for an e-race, which, you know, what are we doing in this Harbourfront Commission? I mean, is it only things are only going to work if you're going to go to CY and get the policy unit, the central policy unit, to give you support, which they did for this project, and then things happen, but otherwise things are not happening? What are we all sitting here spending all our time? So I'm not going to complain about this project. I'm happy that things happen. But I'm just very disappointed to see that many things that we are asked for, very simple things that could be done with great ease, don't ever get to happen. And there are always 1,000 excuses not to do them. And then there is an e-race that gets pushed via the top down, and it suddenly all happens like this. And we're getting the last minute, oh, by the way, do you want to approve the STTs also? It's already approved. What am I supposed to do here? So why are we wasting this time this afternoon? So with that, Chairman, I express my incredible disappointment with government in how things are being handled, how this committee is being treated. And this project to me is just a great example of how things are misaligned. And I hope government can come back and fix that, including make this a nice boulevard. Because for now, forever, the amount of road space in Central is going to be widened, is going to be increased. We're going to have some temporary planters here and there to kind of cover it up. But the public has lost. On an ongoing, the whole year basis, we've lost space. We've lost planters and footpaths, and everything has been wider roads. And the last thing we needed in Central was wider roads. But we're not going to get any things back, like nice planters, removal of concrete barriers, and so on. So are we going to be compensated one way or the other by government? Or are we just going to eat this, swallow this, but you're not going to get your boulevard for the next 5 years? So on that basis.
Debate for another day, I think, Paul. To be fair to the proponents, they brought the proposal here. We should look at the proposal in the context of the Harbour Principles and how we look make sure that the impact on the community is acceptable, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. Proponents, can you respond, please, to the questions relevant to the project?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Perhaps I can give some background information on the road circuit to the members. Actually, we are using the existing roads along Long Wharf Road, using road Man Yu Street and then Man Kwong Street, etc., which are shown as in a great color on the map on the screens. Those are existing roads indeed. Just that some road sections are not cannot fully conform entirely to the safety standards which are prescribed by the FIA. So very minor modification works are being carried out by the Highways Department at those road sections. In total, it costs us about $20 million in total, and the works has commenced in mid-October after our informal briefing to the task force, and then it is expected to be completed by August this year. Members may appreciate that actually the areas concerned are really minor, and then but it involves both the underground facilities and underground facilities, so it takes about 10 months to complete. As for the long-term development of the that Long Wharf Road section, whether it can be further beautified and add more greeneries, relevant departments have been noted of Mr. Zimmerman's comments, and they will review that in the long run. When developing the road sections and the Central Harbour Front. For the minor works that I have just mentioned, because of the tight time frame, the race will be introduced in October. So we are taking about 10 months to do it. There is no capacity to involve major conversion or major works in for this time. But as I've said, relevant departments have already taken note of the comments. As for the some greenery or planters which will be removed under that minor works, the relevant departments will provide compensation. Detailed plans are being worked out, but in any event, they will be compensated. So for other questions that members raised, mainly about the organization of the event, so I'll leave the questions to the organizer.
Thank you, Emily. Perhaps what I can do is run through each of the questions in turn. I think the first question came from you, Chairman, on maintaining the access to the harbor front. I'd like to say, just as a matter of principle, our intention is not either prior to the event or during the event to block the access to the harbor front. So the Central Harbor Front promenade will be open to members of the public at all times, both during the setup period as well as during the event operation itself. for the other parcels of land that we've identified here on this map, we are looking to rent the areas from a minimum of 10 days, which is area 1A, to a maximum of 31 days, which would be area number 2 on this map. Area number 2, as you are aware, is currently not in use. It's an empty parcel of land, and therefore that is not an area that is used today by the general public. Area 1A, which is an example, we would look to rent for 10 days for setup and for 2 days during the event weekend itself. That area would be still open to the public during the period of setup. It's not like we're looking to do heavy construction on that particular parcel of land. And therefore, in each of the areas where we're looking to take the short-term tenancy and to carry out works, they would be done in a limited fashion. Those areas at no time would be unavailable to the general public other than during the event operation itself, where we would need to establish a perimeter and to have that perimeter ticketed in order to be able to control the amount of people within the area. Does that answer your question?
Yes, on you go. Yes,
yes. I think the second question came from a member around the moving of the circuit. The circuit in its current fashion, it has been signed off by the FIA, and therefore it would not be possible to alter the circuit for this year. That is not to say that we could not look at other roads or other circuits on a going forward basis, and that's something that they're very open to, and we're happy to work together with the FIA and with the government to look at an alternative circuit in the coming years. In terms of the way that we view this event in Hong Kong, we are committed to establishing this as an annual event in Hong Kong. That's the commitment we've always made to the Hong Kong government, that we do not see this as being a one-off event. We would like this to be an annual event that takes place in the fall of each year. We would like this to be the opening event, certainly, for the Formula E season on a going-forward basis. There are a certain number of races only that can be accommodated in any one season. Currently, there are 10 races in any particular season. The maximum that could be accommodated in any season would be somewhere around 16 to 18 races. However, having spoken to Formula E Holdings, the global promoter of the championship, they are very supportive of always having a race in Hong Kong. They see Hong Kong as being an iconic venue. The teams are very excited to be racing on this particular circuit, and therefore I can say with every confidence that we do not foresee a situation where there would not be a Formula E race in Hong Kong. In terms of the public access to this event, we have always maintained that we would like to make this event as affordable as possible. That's partially a reason for the general admission tickets, which we would price at a very, very low level to enable as many people to come within the perimeter and to enjoy the event as possible. For those that are not able to get tickets for the event, we have already had discussions with having the race shown on large screens across Hong Kong, such that there would be the camps, I think, as one of the members alluded to, in areas around Hong Kong where people could view the event on a large screen. I think the next question was around people being able to view the event from their boats or their yachts. Certainly, we have no objections to that, and we'd be happy for people to be able to view the event or to come by boats or by yachts as appropriate. I believe the next question was around the pedestrian bridge and the overlook of the circuit itself. As members may be aware, there are a number of office buildings that overlook the circuit, and we're very happy for people that have offices in those buildings to have private parties, to have events as they see fit, and to overlook the track from those various office buildings. The pedestrian bridge that links the ferry piers to the IFC and then further into Central would remain open. However, the passageway would need to be blocked or boarded up in order to keep the crowds flowing. So that's a request from the Hong Kong police. They're very concerned, as you may be aware, of crowd control, and therefore there to being too many people on the pedestrian bridge, and therefore they have asked us to block the view from the bridge of the circuit. Mm. Abdi, the next question was around the sound. The sound is quite different to F1, as you may imagine, these being electric vehicles. I believe based on the studies that have been done, the noise that comes out of the cars is equivalent or less than the sound from a double-decker bus. So it's significantly lower than an F1 car. That also does mean, though, that the event is really open to people of all age groups. So in a Formula E event, as opposed to a Formula One event, you often see people that come with their families or with elderly members because the sound isn't an issue. I believe that's covered all of the questions, but anything that I've missed, I'm happy to.
Can I just ask a follow-up question then? Because I've been down to Singapore, and for that event, they have huge fences up all around the course. Well, where are we going to see fences here on this plan? Is it just the purple area that will be fenced, or will all these coloured areas be fenced off?
So the fencing and the barriers would be alongside the track itself. That is a safety requirement from the FIA, that there is a concrete barrier placed alongside the track to obviously absorb the impact of any cars that may crash. And then further back, there is a requirement from the FIA to have a spectator fence such that people are not too close to the track itself.
How long would those structures be in place?
We would look to set up the concrete barriers starting 8 to 10 days before the event, placing those barriers alongside the track at night so as to minimize the disruption to the public and to the traffic. And the fences themselves would go in a matter of days prior to the event. It's also worth saying that, as Emily has pointed out, that the fences would not block the view through to the harbour front itself.
Christine, sorry, yes.
I think I need to, very important to clarify one point, and that is that this land allocation has not yet been approved, and that's why we are being consulted. I have to recap that back in 2015, the organiser, NTC, kindly come to us for an informal briefing. That's for the whole event. However, then subsequent to that, they collated all the land allocation that they need, and that's they made a submission to the Lands Department, and it's just usual practice for Lands Department to circulate that to all the fellow departments and also ask organisers to consult District Council and also the Harbour and Commission. So I think it's really important to clarify that the Harbour and Commission is one of the major stakeholders that they are coming forward to for a consultation before Lands Department would formally approve any land allocation on STT basis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Members, any other comments? Paul, yes.
The load-in, load-out time for these general public areas at the behind the post office and the car park, that large public area, I'd like to understand a little bit better, as well as the area at the ferry piers. And then that boarding off of the entire elevated walkway between the staff ferry and the post office, if people are not allowed to stop and see something, that means just giving the alignment that you will have to board off both sides. So we're going to have a boarded off tunnel, a boarded off structure. And how long will it be boarded off for the public, and how we're going to breathe? Thank you.
Are we going to board both sides of the walkway, or are we just boarding the side that looks out onto the event? Please. Yes. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yes. We will plan. We're planning to cover both sides of the bridge in terms of coverage, because actually both sides you can feel the track as well. So for safety reason, we would do that. But in terms of whether in terms of blocking the site, we will only cover it up to 1.8 or 2 meter, and the bridge itself is actually higher than that. So it's you still get light through and also air.
And how long will that be? How long will that be boarded off?
We are still in discussion with Highway and Transport Highway Department in terms of the methodology. So we can update you afterwards.
Thank you. Any other comments, members? Alvin?
Are we going to see them again?
Yes. Oh, yes. Don't worry, there's no escape. No, no, don't worry.
Mr. Thapa answered a few questions nicely, but very much in the kind of in principle version, yep. Right? And there are many very precise questions from the members regarding the meshes, so I just want to make sure that I could see the design later. How does it work, really?
When will you be firmed up in terms of the final layout and your final plans? Are you 3 months away from that? Where are you? Do you want to come back? Would you be able to come back to the next meeting of the task force, just to keep us up to date and brief us?
I mean, we're very happy to come back and update members of progress. Nice. Can I just inquire as to when the next meeting of the commission will take place?
We meet roughly every 3 months, so we'll be talking 3 to 4 months from now.
We'd be very happy to come back and update you at that time.
Thank you. Paul?
Chairman, I'm sure we can get post-meeting notes with
details
that we've asked for, because I'm sure they're done, because they've costed it out, they've sorted it all out already. We're just getting minor information last minute to kind of smooth this over here.
Paul, I think to the extent that you can you respond in writing to the points that have been raised? But I still would like you to come back and bring us up to speed in detail next time.
We're very happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And good luck with the event. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, there's no escape. No escape.